Welcome back into the Student Section Podcast. It's all college football all the time. Hope you guys enjoy the episode today.
All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Student Section Podcast. This is Steven, and I'm here today with Garen, as usual.
What's up, guys? Another college football week in the books, or at least the first college week in the books. We got a lot of topics today, and Steven's going to start us off.
Yep, so it is currently Thursday the 5th as of recording this. We weren't able to get our Monday episode out, so we're recording a little bit late, but still in time to talk about the games tomorrow and Saturday. Mostly just Saturday. There's not too many games tomorrow. But so, yeah, we're going to start off the talking about last weekend. Very interesting weekend. Great, I guess technically second week, but week one of college football. So getting right into it. First game, we got UCLA lost to Cincinnati 24-14. I think Chip Kelly is on the hot seat right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think UCLA, they struggled holding on to the ball, especially DTR. He had two really costly fumbles where he pretty much the ball just slipped out of his hand. So they need to improve their ball security, definitely. You know, I think they'll get a win this week, definitely. They have an easier opponent. So, but I think Cincinnati's a good team. I 100% expected Cincinnati to win that game, really.
Yeah, same here. Cincinnati's, I think, going to be a top 25 team by the end of the year. They were last year. They're still very good. So it doesn't surprise me that UCLA lost, but I think it's Chip Kelly's 3-10 now at UCLA. So yeah, I think, if he definitely doesn't improve, then he's fired, but I could see him gone even with a 4-win. I mean, he's got to do better than 3 or 4 wins again.
And they're not recruiting well either. So I think if you get 3 or 4 wins, then he's got to go.
Yes, we'll see you. So then the Big Ten West was very interesting because we picked Nebraska to win that. We thought it was going to be super competitive, a lot of good teams in there. But then this past weekend, Minnesota barely beat South Dakota State. I know South Dakota State is a very good FCS team, but still only beat them by a touchdown. Purdue lost to Nevada on a walk-off field goal. Very unexpected, an upset. Nebraska only beat South Alabama 35-21. We said they were going to win the Big Ten West, and they just didn't even – I mean, they looked bad, honestly.
That game was closer than the scoreboard indicates, too.
Yeah. Honestly, just an underwhelming game for Nebraska. Michigan State beat Tulsa 28-7. And once again, Michigan State's offense just looks like it's bad. Their defense carried them. Their defense is great, but their offense needs to improve for sure. And then the teams that looked very good, Wisconsin is my favorite right now after Nebraska looked very unimpressive. Wisconsin beat South Florida 49-0. Jonathan Taylor had a big game. Wisconsin looked very good. Illinois looked good as well. Obviously, I don't think they'll win the Big Ten West, but they actually looked very good. Who's their quarterback?
Peters. Peters.
I always call him Sean Peters. I don't know why. Brandon Peters. He looked actually very good. And then we had Penn State beat Idaho 79-7. So we said Penn State was going to have a down year, so they looked very good as well.
Yeah, some of these teams are looking good, and according to our predictions, like, for instance, Penn State, we said I think they'd get 7 wins this year, and they came out and put up 79 on the board. So it's not looking good for our predictions. But anyways, I think one of the games that was the most entertaining over the weekend, and especially before the Saturday games, was Purdue and Nevada. Game came down to a last-second field goal. Nevada's freshman quarterback, who played very well, led them down the field, with not a lot of time left. And so I was impressed by Nevada. I thought Purdue would honestly win that game. I'm pretty high on Purdue, but after this game, you know, I'm not really sure about them. So what do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I thought Purdue was going to be one of the top teams in the Big Ten West, and not now. I mean, hopefully they can – I mean, they put up 31 points. It wasn't really their off. I mean, there's some costly turnovers from Sindelar. He threw two picks, but – you know, the defense, you know, giving up 34 points to Nevada, you got to do better than that. And so I'm hoping, though, that, you know, Rondo Moore's career at Purdue is not wasted. I hope, you know, I hope they can have success around him.
Yeah. You know, Purdue's offense, like you said, looked very good. Their quarterback threw for 423 yards, four touchdowns. But their defense in the fourth quarter gave up 17 points, and Purdue didn't score any in the fourth quarter. So, you know, you got to stay on the gas. You can't let up and let Nevada come back. And, you know, they got a bunch of momentum there. And then, you know, last second field goal shut the door. So,
yep. So, yeah, surprising loss for Purdue. So, I mean, right now for me, I got Wisconsin as my favorite for the Big Ten West.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A huge game for Maryland. Maryland beat Howard 79-0. Obviously, Howard's not some powerhouse or anything, but still very impressive. Saw a lot of things on Instagram about it, a lot of memes about it and stuff. I mean, because no team wants to lose 80-0, but yeah, so Maryland beat Howard 79-0. Do you got anything to say about that one?
I don't really have too many takeaways from the game this past weekend, but I think going forward, as the season progresses, Maryland's only going to get better. And, you know, I had a lot of questions, honestly, about Loxley as a head coach. Yeah. But obviously, again, they played Howard. But whenever you put up 80 points, that's really impressive.
Les Miles got his first win as Kansas head coach, beat Indiana State 24-17. You know, you'd hope to beat a team like that by more. But, you know, still, he's coming into a very weak program, gets his first win. So they're definitely going in the right direction. But, you know, some people are like, no, they're going to make a bowl game and stuff. They're not going to make a bowl game. They'll get, you know, five wins at most, you know, three or four wins probably. So, but yeah. Good to see Les Miles get a win though.
Yeah. They almost lost that game actually. I don't know if you watched, but, they had to go on a game-winning drive, pretty much. I mean, there was like a minute or two left, but a receiver caught it in the back of the end zone, and they sealed it. But, yeah, you know, it's good for them to just get a win. You know, most of their wins, I expect them to come like this, even if they're against bad teams. They're going to be close games. So, as a Kansas fan, you can't, you know, for those Kansas fans out there, you can't really ask for much more. You got to give them time. It's going to take time to build this program up.
Yeah, for sure. And y'all got a good coach to do it, though.
Yeah.
Pac-12 race for us. We've talked about this before, but it comes down to Oregon, Washington, Utah. We think those are the top three teams, and Utah will pretty easily win the South. And so we think it comes down to Oregon, Washington, the North. So Oregon lost to Auburn, as most of y'all probably know. Close game, came down to the last drive by Auburn. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but then Washington beat Eastern Washington. They looked very good. Jacob Eason looked very good, and then they beat Eastern Washington 47-14. So they won in blowout fashion, and then Utah had a solid win over BYU 30-12. So you know, we thought Oregon was going to win the Pac-12 and have a playoff shot, but you know, this loss definitely hurts it. I mean, they pretty much have to go undefeated from here on out. And I think Washington looked very good. So if I had to just, you know, I could see Washington. I mean, I could see Washington before, you know, this weekend winning that anyways. But I'm kind of leaning to Washington now with the Pac-12 North.
Yeah, me as well. I think the quarterback play out of both of those teams is going to be phenomenal all year. But Utah, I mean, they're gonna win through on the ground – through their ground game, you know, and their defense. They're going to play smash mouth football, whereas Washington, Oregon is going to rely on, you know, their air attack, throwing the ball downfield. you know, setting up play action. But I think, yeah, I agree. I think Washington is sitting pretty right now. Utah as well, but I think Washington really showed what they can be. Have a really good offense. You know, they have a really good coach too. And their, you know, their defense has been good in years past as well. So we'll see what happens with them.
With this loss to Oregon or this loss to Auburn, what do you think Oregon's doing the rest of the year?
Like a hard prediction or like, so like, I mean, I think they can certainly run the table the rest of the way, but right now, if I had to make a decision right now, I'd say that they lose to Washington.
Okay. Yeah. I'm leaning that way too. It'll be interesting to see. I want to see how Oregon bounces back from this loss. You know, will they bounce back, or were they just, you know, do they think their season's over now and they just kind of,
that's what they did last year.
Yeah.
After they lost to Stanford.
Right. So, yeah. So I it'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I think Washington looks, they looked very good. So, next we're going to the SEC. SEC struggled. I mean, other than, you know, Bama played well, LSU played well, Georgia, they didn't look crazy good, but
they're all right.
Yeah, they're all right. Beat Vandy. But here's a list of not so good games. Ole Miss lost to Memphis 15-10. Memphis is a decent team, and Ole Miss was, I think, went 5-7 last year. So, you know, obviously down, but still lost 15-10 to Memphis. Kentucky beat Toledo 38-24, and that game was closer than 14 points. It came down, Kentucky pulled away. I think there was a turnover or something at the end of the game, and Kentucky went up two scores, but it was a one-score game basically the whole game. Mississippi State won 38-28.
Played Louisiana.
Okay, yeah, Louisiana.
Now, they could have lost that game. I think they had four fumbles, and yeah, that, I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have lost that game.
Yeah, so Mississippi State only won by 10 to Louisiana. Mizzou lost to Wyoming 37-31. I was not expecting that. You know, Mizzou's offense looked good, other than I think Kelly Bryant had some turnovers that weren't obviously hurt their chance to win the game. But, you know, I did not expect Wyoming to come out with this win. So, big win for Wyoming, but surprising loss for Mizzou. Definitely it will hurt them probably going – I mean, they already don't have really anything to play for because of the bowl ban.
No, they don't have any motivation or anything.
So, I mean, losing to Wyoming now, I kind of just see it going downhill for Missouri, to be honest.
Yeah.
South Carolina lost to North Carolina 24-20. Big win for Mack Brown, North Carolina. But, you know, South Carolina also starting out. I mean, if I would have had to pick South Carolina over North Carolina. I think North Carolina coming off a 3-9 season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. And then Arkansas beat Portland State 20-13. Another very small lead win. So, and then the biggest storyline in the SEC, Tennessee lost to Georgia State 38-30. I know you can talk about that better than I can. So
I'm a Tennessee fan, so I've been going through this for a while now. So I mean, honestly, not really much of a surprise, but yeah, I mean, the good thing is for Tennessee is they still have 11 games left. To be honest, I don't know really if they'll turn it around because it was, I saw on Twitter where it was actually recorded as the fourth worst loss in college football history. Definitely the worst loss in Tennessee history. Far and away the worst loss Tennessee history in my lifetime. You know, they got BYU this weekend. That's really the game, I think. You know, if they lose this weekend, then it's over. I see. If they lose this weekend, it's over. They'll probably start 1-6, and Jeremy Pruitt will be fired. That's probably what I think. If they win this weekend, then I think everything will be all right.
What is all right?
I think the thing is that South Carolina doesn't look good. Missouri doesn't look good.
That's true.
Those two teams are on the schedule. Kentucky, Tennessee's won the last 31 out of 33 in that series. Not that that means anything, but, you know, they beat them last year too. But Tennessee looked awful. But I think it comes down to this weekend for them.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. The rest of the SEC East isn't looking that great either. So that's definitely a positive for Tennessee. You know, obviously coming off a terrible loss, they can still have hope that, you know, it's not like the rest of the East looked just incredible or anything like that. So they could definitely still turn their season around. Not all hope is lost. Then a couple more things to talk about in a recap from this past weekend. Oklahoma beat Houston 49-31. Jalen Hurts looked very, very good. Happy to see him do well. He's a classy guy, great guy. But yeah, it was good to see him do well. Right now he's basically leading most people's Heisman race. But the big takeaway for me, I mean, Jalen Hurts would be the first one. He's very good, but to me, is the defense once again. Houston's not a bad team. Got some great playmakers like Derek King, but I mean, they gave up 31 points again. They consistently give up over 30 points, sometimes 40 points. So, I mean, if this team wants to go and win a national championship, their defense must improve. They're not going to win a national championship when you have to face like a Clemson, you know, or an Alabama who's going to put up points and then has a solid defense as well. So, but yeah, the defense must improve. The defense didn't look that bad in the first half, but then second half, it, you know, fell apart a little bit.
Yeah, I know a lot of people after Saturday's games were praising Oklahoma, and they had it. Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma had a really good game. But the thing about it is Jalen Hurts is not near as a player, not the player, but near as the passer as Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray. Obviously, he played just out of his mind, but hit a very good game. But the thing that it comes down to is that if this defense doesn't improve, and I mean, I don't know if they are, then they're going to rely on, and we said this last year too with Kyler Murray, they're going to rely on Jalen Hurts to go and score every single possession in these big games, like against Texas or whoever they play in the Big 12 championship game. It could be Texas again. And then if they were to make the playoff, when you play a good team, then if their defense doesn't hold up, then every single drive, he feels like he has to score.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to be as capable as Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield, even though he may win the Heisman.
Yeah, I agree with that. He definitely doesn't have the arm that Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield had. And if their defense is just constantly giving up points, they're going to have to rely on Jalen Hurts to come down here. And he's going to be, I feel like in those big games, like you said, I feel like you're going to see Jalen Hurts from Alabama in that he's not going to be able to throw the ball downfield nearly as well. And he's going to try to do everything with his legs. And, you know, he's going to keep getting hit in the backfield or keep throwing the ball away or keep, you know, just getting 2 yard gains or something like that. So, and that's not a knock on him. That's more of a knock on Oklahoma's defense. They got to be better. So, but overall, I mean, the offense obviously looked incredible again. So yeah, just clean up that defense, which I mean, that's how it normally is. And Oklahoma could be, I mean, they're a contender regardless. So that's the thing. That's the thing that's crazy. If Oklahoma just had a decent defense, they could be winning the national championship almost every year because their offense is elite.
Yeah,
but
just couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, imagine then if they had a great defense, like imagine Clemson's defense.
You're crazy.
Michigan State's defense, they're easily winning the national championship.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's our little take on Oklahoma. Washington State won 58-7 over New Mexico State. And Anthony, was it Gordon? I think it was Gordon. He had over 420 yards. He's the next Gardner Minshew. Somehow Mike Leach gets these transfer quarterbacks and then turns them into, you know, just incredible passers. So
yeah, I wasn't really, when the AP poll came out before the college football season, we kind of talked about Wazoo being in there, and I was kind of thinking to myself, I was wondering, you know, why they were in there, because, you know, I was like, you know, they, Gardner Minshew had a really good year, you know, and went, like, would they finish with 10 wins, 10 wins? And I didn't think they would be
11, actually.
11.
I think it was 10 or 11.
Yeah, I think they might have went 11-2.
Yeah, it was very good, yeah.
But anyways, I thought that they wouldn't be able to replicate it, but it seems like they found another really good quarterback. And it may not even be that they found another really good quarterback. I think more so than anything, it's Mike Leach has developed another really good quarterback. You know, I think I look at Mike Leach as like a not as like he's got, I kind of view him the same as Lincoln Riley. He learns, he studies quarterbacks and learns how he can implement them in the right way in their offense. And I think that's why he's such a good coach. So I think Washington State can make some big time noise.
Yeah. I think Washington State's going to have a surprisingly well season. Maybe not to others. Maybe other people were thinking they were going to be a good team because they were great last year. But I know we weren't as high on them. You know, since they lost Minshew, we thought they were going to struggle a little bit more this season. But you know, maybe not. They looked really good in their win. I know they played New Mexico State, but still, great way to start off the season. And then the last thing we're going to talk about in this recap, Boise State beat Florida State 36-31 on the road. It was originally not at Florida State, but I think because of the hurricane, they moved it to Florida State. So, I mean, huge win for Boise State. And just, I mean, Florida State, they gave it to them. They had the game, it was an 18-point lead, 17-point lead, and they blew it. So, you know, that's Willie Taggart, similar to Chip Kelly on the hot seat. But, I mean, Florida State's offense looked honestly pretty good. James Blackman played incredible. I know in the second half he wasn't nearly as good, but still put up 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Cam Akers had a great game, 116 rushing yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, you got to give Boise State some credit. They didn't, you know, once they were down, they kept their heads in the game. So, like I said, big win for Boise State, but bad loss for Florida State because they lost it.
Yeah, you know,
I think time's ticking for Willie. Yeah. I think it might be coming to an end here soon.
I think, what was it, Florida State up 21-6 after the first quarter? I mean, you had the game wrapped up. You didn't score any in the second half. That's the story right there. And I mean, Boise State goes into the fourth quarter with all the momentum. I thought Florida State's offense looked good. I thought their offensive line actually looked kind of definitely improved.
Very improved, yeah.
Improved. They gave Blackman time to throw. They run blocked very well for Cam Akers. But they just couldn't do anything in the second half. So,
yeah, for sure. Honestly, I was like, I didn't believe it, but at the same time, I did believe it. I kind of like wasn't surprised that happened. You know, Florida State's been
same thing with Tennessee.
Yeah. It's one of those things you're like, can't believe that happened, but then at the same time, you can't believe
what else
happened.
Would you expect?
Yeah, exactly. So rough start for Florida State. We'll see if they can turn around. But oh, we were talking about this earlier though. That Willie Taggart's buyout. Do you remember the date if they fire him before?
So if Florida State decides to terminate or you know, if they decide to fire Willie Taggart before February 1st of 2020, then the buyout number will be $17 million. So you know, if let's say he does go 5-7. I mean, maybe they keep him around for another year because $17 million,
it's a lot of money.
And, like, you think about it, if they're having to pay him obviously it's not $17 million at once because usually these things are, like, the payments over time. But, like, if you're paying someone $17 million, then that takes away from what you can give another coach, so.
Yeah, unless he's just, I mean, goes like 3-9 this year.
I mean, his coaching career has been, terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he just hasn't had a winning record like anywhere. Honestly,
yeah.
So, I mean, So most likely you'll see him next year, honestly, at Florida State. But
I mean, I think they can get to. I mean, they showed a lot in the first half, but maybe that was just them. Maybe it was just Boise. I don't know.
Yeah, playing bad.
Playing bad. But with the way they played first half, they could most certainly get to 6-6. I mean, probably 7-5. But yeah. The second half team, no way.
yeah, exactly. So, like we said, I think he'll be back. Willie Taggart will be back for next year, just simply because that buyout is insane. So unless he just wins like 2 or 3 games, which surely he won't. But like I said, those you won't be surprised like if he did. But I think next year, if they don't make a bowl game, he's gone. But that's going to do it for the recap. Now we're going to get into each of our top 3 Heisman candidates for right now.
All right, so I'll go ahead and start with mine. Count it down here. At number 3, I have Jacob Eason. Played very well, threw for 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards. You know, he was very accurate on the day. He showed off, he had one throw. His arm was just a cannon downfield. You know, we saw a lot of that at Georgia, honestly, up until he got hurt, obviously, and then they had to put in Jake Fromm. At number 2, I have Jonathan Taylor. He brutalized South Florida's defense. 16 carries, 135 yards. He had an average was over 8. He had two scores on the ground, and also he caught 2 balls, and he took both of those into the end zone. So 4 TDs total, all in the first half, I believe. And then number 1, pretty obvious, I have Jalen Hurts. Very efficient game. The biggest thing there. I think a lot of, when he was playing in the SEC, a lot of times his games were not very efficient. You know, he went 20 for 23, which is huge for him. His completion percentage sometimes at Alabama, he had games where he would start off really bad and then it would go downhill. He threw for 3 TDs, over 300 yards. And he ran for 3 touchdowns, and that's really incredible for a quarterback. You rarely see that. So those are my 3.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts had an awesome game, almost 200 yards on the ground. So my 3, I got number 3, I got Jamie Newman, Wake Forest quarterback, kind of a interesting pick. Maybe not people have heard about him as much, but they beat Utah State in a very close game, 38-35. Jamie Newman had a great – him and Jordan Love battled it out, throwing the ball both threw over for 400 yards. Jamie Newman threw for 401 yards, 3 touchdowns. Then he had another touchdown on the ground. So 4 total touchdowns, 400 yards.
No turnovers.
Yeah, no turnovers. Great completion percentage. So just an awesome game. I mean, he really – I mean, I thought Utah State was going to honestly win this game pretty easily. I know I picked them. I bet on them. So, Wake Forest, definitely surprising win. Jamie Newman had an awesome game. So, watch out for Wake Forest this year. Number 2, I got Tua. He didn't even play much of the second half, as he didn't last year either. The first quarter was huge. They didn't have – well, I didn't even score, but first half was huge. They had some starters missing. Alabama did in the first quarter. And so 2 threw for 4 touchdowns, 336 yards. He kept up what he was doing last year. And I think the biggest thing for me, too, last year, I think he peaked about 6 or 7 games in. I think the whole Alabama team did, but specifically Tua. And I think – then the team as well as Tua declined the rest of the year. Obviously not a ton. It wasn't like just a sharp decline, but I think the team didn't play as well after about 6 or 7 games in, and then it showed up in the national championship. You know, they obviously got blown out. So I think Tua could very well win the Heisman this year, and he had a great first game to do that. And then my number 1 is also Jalen Hurts. That was his number 1 as well. So he had 6 total touchdowns, 176 yards on the ground, 332 through the air, only 3 incompletions, no turnovers. So just a great game from Jalen Hurts. The Oklahoma offense is deadly, but like we said before, the defense has got to step it up if they want to if they want a chance to win the national championship. But those are our top three Heisman candidates right now. It obviously will change throughout the season, you know, with injuries or just someone not doing as well or someone doing better. So, but right now, after week zero and week one, that's who we have in our top three. So now we're going to talk about our winners and losers. We got one. We each got a winner, and we each have a loser from the first week of college football. So do you want to start yours off?
Yes. So the winners, my winner, I have actually Mack Brown. I think it's huge for him to there's been a lot of hype around that program throughout the offseason, not for hype for this year, but just as this program goes forward as a whole, specifically our recruiting. And for him to start off with a win against, an in-state team, not an in-state team, but, just across, just a couple minutes down the road, I think that's huge. You know, those, a lot like a Florida-Miami kind of game, those players, a lot of those players, I'm sure, know each other. They played against each other probably in high school, growing up. And South Carolina has definitely been the better program, at least for the last, 2 years or so. And I think, just him, he's going to be able to use that in recruiting a lot, and they're just only going to get better. My loser, I have Tennessee. Tennessee, just terrible performance. Defense was awful. Quarterback was awful. I mean, you can say what you want. He had 300 yards, but I saw a stat actually on Twitter where Tennessee's quarterback, every single throw he made, it was his first read. So when he snapped the ball, whatever receiver he looked at first, he threw the ball to that receiver every single play of the game. That's terrible. That's not a good quarterback. Not an SEC quarterback, especially. So those are my winners and losers. So you go ahead with yours.
Yeah, I thought about Tennessee and North Carolina as well for my winner and loser, or my loser and winner. But and I also thought for my winner a similar one to North Carolina, which would be Kansas with Les Miles. But I ended up deciding to go with Auburn as my winner because they played not good. They played bad. I think Bo Nix was not good, but they still won, and they beat, a number 11 Oregon it was. So, I mean, I think that's a positive. Obviously, you want them to play better. You want Bo Nix to play better. But when I think he was like 13 for 31 passing or something. So when you – and he threw like two terrible interceptions. When you play that poorly and then still win, the defense looked great, especially in the second half. So like I said, if you play that poorly and still come out with a win, that should be a positive, because imagine if they had, played well, it could have been a different, even a blowout, honestly. But I think they were a little bit lucky as well. I think the first half could have been, I think Oregon could have had 21, 28 points, but that's how football goes. Sometimes you just need a little bit of luck. So I think that's a great thing for Auburn. And the thing I want to say about Bo Nix, his stats weren't good. He looked, not good in the first half, but the thing that I loved about him was his composure. He was super poised. He didn't ever look, scared of the moment. I remember Kirk Herbstreit at one point was like, look at his eyes. And normally that sounds super cliche, and I wouldn't really like that. Look at his eyes. You can't tell what he's thinking. But in this moment, I actually really liked that, because I thought Kirk Herbstreit was right. He just didn't look worried. He didn't look scared. He didn't look nervous. He looked like a quarterback ready to go and play. So I think that's a great thing for Auburn. I think, if he just improves his performance, they could win a lot of games. And that's coming from someone that said they're going to go 7-5 and lose to Arkansas. So, I think that's a great thing for Auburn. My loser is Florida State. Like I said earlier, I think it was an 18-point lead they blew. You had the game. You played great in the first half. All I had to do was – they could have scored one touchdown in the second half and they would have won. But you put up a goose egg in the second half, and you blow that game to a good Boise State team. So that would have been a great win for them. But, they dropped the game, somehow find a way to lose it. So And I think the biggest problem for me here is that they have Willie Taggart as the coach, and most likely he's still going to be their coach next year because of that bio, like we said. So to me, that's a huge problem because I think that means Willie Taggart's guaranteed to be here, be at Florida State next year. But that's all we got for the moment. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with a couple other topics. And our partner, Jesse, will join us on the podcast. He hasn't been on yet, but this will be his first appearance. So we'll be back in a quick second. Welcome back into the Student Section Podcast. Turns out Jesse will not be joining us this episode. Hopefully he'll be able to come on here next episode. So sorry about that. But get into what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about which teams we're buying and selling based on their performance from the weekend. So basically who we think's the real deal and who we think's, you know, not. So you can go ahead and say yours.
Okay, so first I'm going to start off with the team that I am buying. I'm buying Washington, mainly just because I feel like their quarterback play out of Jacob Eason is going to be phenomenal this upcoming year. They always have a pretty good defense, some really good corners. But I like the way that I saw Jacob Eason really progress this Saturday. We haven't seen him play in a long time, so it was good to see him get out there and pretty much just pick up where he left off. Has a great arm, really strong arm, and his arm talent's really good too, and he's very accurate. So for the team that I'm selling, you know, the team I'm really not feeling that much is actually Utah. I think Utah has a good team, but I think they play a lot of teams. They play a really easy schedule, so I think their wins don't look as good. I think this year they'll play a lot of easy teams, and they may beat up on them. So it might not look as good, and I don't think their offense is going to be good enough to beat some of the, you know, like Oregon or Washington. I think they play Washington during the regular season. They could potentially meet Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. So, yeah, that's who I'm buying and selling. I'll let Steve take it.
So I'm buying Wisconsin. I think they looked great. I think Jonathan Taylor's really going to carry this offense. I mean, he did last year, but I think this year they got a more complete team. I was impressed with Jack Cohen. He had over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's their quarterback. So I was impressed with him. They shut out USF, who's usually a solid American team. So, I was definitely impressed with them. I'm buying them. I think they have a great shot to win the Big Ten West, maybe give Ohio State or Michigan run for their money in the Big Ten in general. And, you know, if they could do that with one, you know, undefeated or one loss, then they'll probably be getting a trip to the playoffs. So I'm really high on Wisconsin after that opening game for them. I thought they looked great. And then I'm selling Nebraska. We said they were going to win the Big Ten West, and they still definitely could. But after seeing them play against South Alabama, and they only won by 2 scores, I wasn't impressed, and it's kind of like they had so much hype, and then to start the season off with a dud like that, it just really kind of took the hype out of them for me. They still have a shot. They could easily improve and, you know, start blowing out teams and whatnot. But I think after that performance, I'm selling them. They could still be a great team. I mean, I just don't know if they'll live up to the hype or the expectations that we thought they would. So that's the teams we're buying and selling. That could definitely change within the coming weeks. But right now, that's what we got. So this podcast is going to go up late Thursday night. We're recording right now Thursday. So we're going to go ahead and give our picks. I don't know if we're doing any Friday games, but we're going to give some picks for the Saturday games. And so if you don't watch this till after the weekend, I guess you can just see how well we did. So getting into it, first game we're going to pick, and we're probably not really going to get too, like, too in-depth in these games, just give y'all who we think is going to win. But first game, we got Army at number 7, Michigan. So in that game, I know Army took Oklahoma last year to overtime, and a lot of people were high on on Army this year. I mean, we were as well. But then after that opening game where they only beat Rice by a touchdown, I think – and Michigan didn't look that great either week one, but I'm still going to give it to Michigan.
Yeah, I got Michigan in this game. Someone commented on one of our posts, I think it was over the weekend, and they made a good point about Army, even though they only beat Rice by – I mean, they should beat Rice by more than 7, but they said a lot of their games are going to be like that, close wins, just because of the style of offense and just the type of team they are. And I'll agree with that. You know, I think they should definitely won by more than 7 against Rice. But so that game doesn't really scare me away, but I'm still going to pick Michigan. I think this is a pretty close game going into the fourth quarter, and I think Michigan will pull away, you know, maybe like 34-21, 34-24, something like that. But yeah, so I got Michigan.
Next be Cincinnati at number 5, Ohio State. That's a very interesting game. Cincinnati coming off a win against UCLA, and they had a great season last year. I'm going to take Ohio State at home, but I do think it'll be a pretty close game.
Yeah, I'm currently debating this one, actually. No, I'll go with Ohio State just because it's at home. If this was a road game for Ohio State, then I would definitely, you know, this would be. I think they'd be on upset watch. I think Cincinnati's very underrated. So with this being in the shoe at home for Ohio State, I got the Buckeyes.
Next, we got number 21 Syracuse at Maryland. This is a very interesting game. Maryland put up 80. Or 79 on Howard. So, you know, Maryland looked really good. Syracuse shut out, as did Maryland, but Syracuse shut out Liberty, but only put up 21 or I think 24 it was. 24. Yeah, 24. So this definitely could be an upset right here, and I'm going to say Maryland gets the upset at home.
I got Maryland in this one as well. I think I don't think Syracuse has the quarterback play to win this game. To keep up with Maryland's offense, I think Maryland has a really good offense. I'm not just, you know, basing it off of last week's performance. I think Locksley is a very good play caller. He's proven that. So, yeah, I got Maryland in, I guess, what you'd call an upset, but this isn't really an upset to me just because of, I mean, in terms of rankings, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, I got Maryland in this one, in a close one.
Then we got number 25, Nebraska at Colorado. I kind of debated this one, but I think Colorado's defense is really a hindrance. I think they gave up like 36 this past week. So I think it's definitely a possible upset, but I'm going to still go with Nebraska beating Colorado.
You said this was at Nebraska?
No, it's
it's at Colorado. Okay, that changes things. I think Nebraska gets back on track this week. I think Adrian Martinez finds his he was off on a lot of throws, overthrowing a lot of receivers last week. I think Nebraska comes back and wins by 2 scores. So I got Nebraska.
Then we got number 23 Stanford at USC. Stanford is without KJ Costello, and USC is without JT Daniels. So neither has their starting quarterback. So that makes it interesting. That makes it tough to pick, honestly. At first, I kind of forgot JT Daniels was hurt, so I was thinking USC is going to get the upset with KJ Costello out. But now that I remember JT Daniels is out as well, I think I'm going to go with Stanford. They had decent quarterback play from Mills, it was the backup. So I think he'll have a decent game. He'll be able to – I think he'll outplay USC's backup quarterback, and so Stanford's going to win.
Yeah, I think Stanford would definitely have the better –
quarterback play. But with this being at USC, I'm going to go with USC, actually. I'm not very confident in this pick, but I think USC, with it being at home, I think that'll help them a lot. And I'll take the Trojans.
We got Minnesota at Fresno State. As we said earlier, Minnesota barely beat South Dakota State. And Fresno State actually lost to USC last week in a close one. So I got Fresno State winning at home. I think Minnesota might be a little disappointing this year after watching them their first week. And Fresno State's going to be hungry for a win. They're a great team, and they're going to be hungry for a win after losing to USC. So I got Fresno in this one.
I got Fresno in this one. I think they can win this game pretty easily. If Minnesota shows up just like they did last week, we see any of that team, then I think Fresno will win big.
And then the last game we're going to pick before we get into Texas A&M, the big games, I think it is USC at Florida Atlantic. I didn't put
UCF.
Yeah, that's what I meant. UCF. I think they were ranked 18. I didn't write their ranking down, but UCF at Florida Atlantic. I got UCF pretty big, honestly. Florida Atlantic, I remember last year they getting the hype, a lot of hype, opening week against Oklahoma, and they didn't really do anything. And I just think they've been pretty underwhelming the past, like, this year and last year. So I got UCF big.
I got UCF in this one as well. I think both these teams are really a lot of uncertainty here, as far as I'm concerned. I think we're going to find a lot about what kind of quarterback Brendan Wimbush really is. Not that FAU has a great defense or anything, but, I mean, he's not going to be playing a cupcake game. So I think we'll see what kind of performance he can put up. He probably didn't like his performance last week. It was all right.
But, yeah, it is a decent.
But, yeah, I got UCF.
And then the two big games, we got number 12 Texas A&M taking on number 1 Clemson. It's at Clemson. And crazy enough, Clemson is a 16.5-point favorite, which I think is kind of absurd, to be honest. I mean, Clemson definitely has the capability of doing that, but I think it'll be a closer game than that. I still think it'll probably be a double-digit game, but I'm thinking more like 14. Like, it'll be a close game going into the second half, maybe even the fourth quarter, and then I think, you know, Texas A&M, maybe Kellen Mond will make a mistake or something, and then Clemson will take a 2-score lead. So I got Clemson, but I think, like I said, I think it'll be a close game to the end. I think it'll be like a 14-point game. Definitely not 17 like the spread is.
I got Clemson here. I know a lot of people have been bringing up the spread. It's gone down just a tad bit, but I'm going to take Clemson with it being at home. I don't think they'll cover the point. I think it'll be probably around a 10-point game. But I think one thing to keep in mind is a lot of people were saying, Texas A&M almost beat them last year and all this stuff. Well, I think we need to remember that if we look back, Trevor Lawrence did not start that game. I know he played a ton in that game, and Travis Etienne last year in that game only had 8 carries. So, honestly, Clemson's a totally different team on the offensive side of the ball. So, I would not be surprised if they did cover and, you know, maybe won by 17 or 3 scores. So, but I got Clemson. I don't think they'll cover, though. I think it'll be about a 10-point game.
And then we got number 6 LSU at number 9 Texas, the second big game of the weekend. LSU is a 6.5-point favorite, which I feel is a little high as well, especially since it's on the road for them. But I am going to go with LSU in an extremely close game. I think I was very impressed with Joe Burrow last week. I know they played, I think it was like Georgia Southern or someone, but I was very impressed with Joe Burrow. LSU's defense is incredible. And I think Sam Ellinger might have a tough time throwing the ball against this LSU secondary. So I'm going to go with LSU in a very close game. I think they'll win by like a field goal.
I have LSU in this game. I actually think they'll win this game by two scores. I think LSU is very good defense. I like Texas as a team, but I think Sam Ellinger is going to have trouble with LSU's secondary. And one thing to remember is Texas's defense isn't like it. 2 years ago, Texas had a really good defense, and it got worse last year, and then they lost some more players this year, and it probably won't be as good as last year's. And also another thing to keep in mind is Texas lost their leading receiver last year, and then their leading receiver this year, he's actually hurt right now, and he I think he's expected to play, but he may only play a limited number of snaps. So I have LSU winning this game by two scores.
That's kind of crazy to me. I wouldn't give him that big of a win, but, you know, it's college football, so it's exciting. It'll be very interesting if that happens. That's what's going to do it for this podcast. I think that'll wrap it up. We will – if you watch this before Saturday, we will not be doing a live podcast Saturday. Garen will be heading out of town to go watch the Tennessee game. So it'll just be me, and I probably won't do it by myself. So that's what's happening Saturday. Thank you for listening to this episode, and tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Student Section Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And as always, tune in next week for another weekly episode.